All right, let us go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with precision. There is no confusion as God's word is taught. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this evening. There is no contradiction in this atmosphere. We ask and receive this evening that there is clarity. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. If you are with your Bibles, I would like that you turn with me to Lamentation chapter 3. Quickly run with me to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. Look at Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. Are you with me? Yeah, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. It says, "It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." I'll read that again. It says, "It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." Let me read that one more time. It says, "It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because his compassion fail not." Now, so in the real sense, it means that when you see people who are consumed, it is not an activity of the Lord. Right? It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Why is it so? It says, because his compassions fail not. Look at verse 23. It says, "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." They are new. So they are new every morning. So the Lord's mercy, which you see as his compassion, they are new every morning. Now, it will interest you to know that when, you know, the Bible says that the mercies of the Lord, the compassion of the Lord are new every morning. It's not saying that, you know, when the day turns towards the night, you know, the temperature gauge or the gauge of his compassion reduces a little. Then once it's 12 a.m. or the next day or the new day, you know, everything just boosts up. Yeah, so you have that booster that comes with the time. Yeah, so in the real sense, that's a figurative way of speaking about how every day or every new day of man's existence is a reminder of the mercy of God. I'll say that one more time. It says, "It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed." So, look at it this way. It says, "It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed." Remove that statement that says, "Because his compassion failed not," and just say, "They are new every morning." So, you will read, "It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. They are new every morning. His compassions fail not." Look at that again. It is so three characteristics of God's compassion or God's character or three characteristics of his character, really. So he says, "It is of the Lord's mercy we are not consumed." So number one, there is the Lord's mercy. Number two, there is the compassion that fails not. Number three, they are new every morning. So they are new every morning is just a figurative way of speaking about that every day is a proof or is a reminder that God's compassion doesn't fail, that God's mercy doesn't fail. So a reminder is given to man every day that God is merciful. Right? Look at it again. "It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not." So his compassion doesn't fail. So there is no point or there is no point in time where the compassion, the love of God will fail. There's no point in time. Yeah. In fact, it tells you they are new every morning. So as long as there is a new day, as long as there's a dawn of a day, as long as the dawn of a morning, there is something that is renewed in the real sense, figuratively. Yeah, what is renewed? The Lord's mercy is renewed every morning. Where is the renewal done? The renewal is to be done in the heart of man. Did you hear that? So the mercies of God, they are new every morning. The mercies of God, they are renewed every morning. Where is the renewal done? The renewal is not done on God's end. Yeah, so don't look at God as that DSTV decoder you have to renew every month. Yeah, don't look at God as your monthly subscription you have to renew every month. Or don't look at God as your yearly subscription you have to renew every month. Are we together? Yeah, so they are new every morning is that they are to be renewed in the consciousness of man. So man is to see every day as an opportunity to renew his mind concerning the mercies of God. Did you hear that? I'll say that again. You look at it again. It says, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Yeah. So the Lord's mercy doesn't consume. The Lord's mercy doesn't consume. The Lord's mercy doesn't consume. It says, his compassion fail not. So the Lord's mercy, which is his compassion, does not consume. In fact, in a real sense, they are new every morning. Are we together? Yeah. So great is thy faithfulness. So the faithfulness of God is something that is constant all through the days of man on earth. What is man to do? Man is to renew his knowledge. Man is to renew his knowledge. Man is to renew his knowledge about that mercies of God that fails not. Did you get that? Man is to renew his knowledge, right? About that faithfulness, that mercy of God that fails not. Are we here? Right? Look at it again. Look at that again. He says, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because his compassion fails not. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Look at Psalm 30 verse 5. Look at Psalm 30 verse 5. Psalms 30 verse 5. Run with me quickly to Psalm 30, verse 5. Look at Psalm 30, verse 5. Let me show you something quickly there. Look at Psalm 30, verse 5. Psalm 30, verse 5. So what it says? It says, his anger endured but a moment, yeah? In his favor, his life, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You see? The same thing again. Every morning. They are new every morning, right? Joy comes in the morning. Yeah. What do you suppose is that which should bring to or should be brought to your remembrance every morning? It is the mercies of God. What does the mercies of God come with? It comes with joy. All together. So in remembering the mercies of God that faileth not, right? Yeah, and you renew your mind regarding that. What does it come with? It says, joy cometh in the morning. Right? Joy cometh in the morning. Okay, hold your hand in Psalms and go to Jeremiah 3. Look at Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. Look at Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. Jeremiah, please, I'd like you to listen attentively to today's teaching. Look at Jeremiah chapter 3, look at verse 14. He says, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. Dear saints, see yourself in that picture, right? So, O backsliding children, in the real sense, you are the one you are married, you're not the backsliding side, right? So, it's an instruction to a backsliding people, but you see that there's a union, there's a marriage you will see between God and man, right? So, and I will take you at one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you unto Zion. Now, you are amongst those who have come to Zion. Look at verse 15. And I will give you pastors according to my heart. Did you see that? What is the work of the pastor? The work of the pastor is actually to feed you with knowledge and understanding. Yeah. So according to God's heart, he gives pastors so that they can feed us with what? Knowledge and understanding. Did you see that? Did you see that? Come again. Look at that again. Look at that again. He says what? And I will give you pastors. So the giving of pastors is God's will. Yeah. The giving of pastors is God's heart. Is God's heart desire. And there is a purpose. Now, what is the purpose? Which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So a pastor is a gift given by God to Zion so that the pastor can feed the members of Zion with knowledge and understanding. What do you suppose the knowledge and understanding will revolve around? It is that the mercies of the Lord never fails. The compassion of the Lord never fails. They are new every morning. So every morning is an opportunity, figuratively, for the pastor, according to God's heart, to feed you with knowledge and understanding regarding God's mercies and compassion. Are you there? Have you gone home? Yeah, you are home, right? So, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and what? Understanding. Now, what do you suppose that will be in reference to? Yeah, there is a renewal of your mind that is needed regarding the mercies of God. Yeah, it is the Lord's mercy that it is because or it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Why? Because his compassion fails not. Yet they are new every morning. So every morning is an opportunity to grow in knowledge and understanding about the mercies and the compassion of God that fails not. How did God propose that that should be done? Yet he says, I will give you pastors according to my heart. So it is God's will for you to have a pastor, yeah, that will build you in knowledge. So use the word feed you, right? Because it's actually a feast, right? So that will feed you with knowledge and with understanding regarding the mercies of God, the compassion of God that fails not. Are we here? Are we here? Look at Psalm 103. You know, we're in Lamentations, you know, went to Psalms, went to Jeremiah. Now look at Psalms. Let's go back to Psalms and just see a few things there. Look at Psalm 103, verse 3. Look at Psalm 103, verse 3. Yeah. Oh, glory to God. Look at verse 2. Oh, praise Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. Look at verse 1. Psalm 103, verse 1. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So it means that there is something that is beneficial, or there are some benefits that God gives. Are we together? Praise God. Yeah, there are some benefits that God gives. Now, Dave, you know, the psalmist says what? Forget not all his benefits. He now tells you, he says, who forgiveth all thy iniquities? Yeah. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? In verse 4, it says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Yet who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Why? Because his compassion faileth not. Why? Because his compassion faileth not. So what does his compassion do in verse 4? His compassion redeems from destruction. What does his compassion crown with in verse 4? His compassion crowns with loving kindness and tender mercies. I want to get that. So when you see verse 5, he now tells you, who satisfied thy mouth with good things? What are the good things? The good things will be the benefits from verse 2 that you are not to forget. Are you together? So who satisfied thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like eagles. So can you see renewal of thy youth as eagles? Just similar one way or the other, you know, similar to they are new every morning. Praise Jesus. Let's not go into that today. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious. Yeah, the Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. What should you do about that knowledge about the plenteous mercy or the plentiful mercy? Yeah, they are new every morning. That is, renew your mind, renew your consciousness about the plenteous mercy that is found in God. Renew your mind, renew your consciousness about the graciousness that is found in God. How does God expect that you do that? Or what did God have in mind as a plan? Yeah, that will make you do that every day. It is he gave pastors according to his heart, Jeremiah 3:15. Are we here? Are we here? Look at verse 10. He says, he had dwelt with us after our sins. He had not dwelt with us rather after our sins, nor rewarded us according to what our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. So, can you see, he reminds you again of the greatness of his mercy and uses, you know, a hyperbole of the heaven that is high, or the distance between the heaven and the earth, figure of speech, so to say. Right? Look at it again. It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Yeah, so it means that God doesn't count sins. God doesn't mark sins. Are we together? Yeah, God doesn't. In fact, what does God do about sins? God is plenteous in mercy, gracious in mercy, and because of that, yeah, his compassion fails not in the real sense. We need to remind ourselves about that compassion every morning. Yeah, that's what you see. They are new every morning. Yeah, not that God updates his portfolio about mercy. No, not really. God is God all by himself. He is mercy. He is love. Are we together? Now, okay, in case you are not sure, look at Micah. Look at Micah 7. Or look at Malachi 3. Let's go to Malachi 3. Look at Malachi 3 verse 6. Let me show you something interesting in Malachi 3 6. I hope you are trying to follow this beautiful evening. Yeah? Look at Malachi 3 6. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. See what it says. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, your sons of Jacob are not consumed. Hold on, hold on. Lamentation. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Are we here? Look at that again. Malachi 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Look at that again. Malachi 3, 6. He says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, your sons of Jacob are not consumed." Now, look at it. Your sons are not consumed. What does Lamentation tell you the reason consumption doesn't happen? The reason consumption doesn't happen is because God is a compassionate God whose compassion fails not. Did you see that? Yeah, so the compassion of God that fails not, yeah, is what you see as, "For I am the Lord, I cannot change." So if God is compassionate in Lamentation, yeah, he has been compassionate from Genesis. Are we here? Are we here? So if God is compassionate in Malachi, if God is compassionate, so "I change not," it means that he has been the same right from Genesis up until Malachi, at least for the benefit of where we are right now. I hope we are listening. Oh, we're listening. Look at that again. He says, "I am the Lord, I change not." So what should you know about God? God is a God whose mercy fails not, whose compassion fails not. They are new every morning. They are new every morning in that man is to renew his mind, his consciousness. Yeah, man is to see that every morning or every day is a reminder of the mercies of God. Are we together? Are we together? So if God changeth not, it means that God has always been the same from time. Did you see that? So if God is a God that changeth not, he has always been the same from time. Let me say it again. If God is a God, so if there's any point in time you see God as merciful, it means he has been that merciful from time. If there's any point in time you see God as compassionate, it means he has been that way from time. Are we together? So I am the Lord, I change it not, yet therefore your sons of Jacob are not consumed, yet I change not. So don't look at it as it is because of the Jacob aspect that he decides not to consume them. There is no consumption found in their actuality, or there's no, is that the word? Men are not consumed, or the act of men being consumed is not found amongst the characteristics of God. Why? Because he is full of mercy and his compassions, what? They fail not. They fail not. They fail. Look at Micah 7 verse 18. Micah 7 verse 18. Look at Micah 7. Micah 7 verse 18. Look at Micah 7 verse 18. Micah 7. Now, what should you do with the knowledge of God's mercy? God has given you pastors according to his heart who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Jeremiah 3:15. Are we together? Look at Micah 7. It says, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighted in what? In mercy. His compassion, what? Fails not." Look at it. Look at verse 19. "For he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue iniquities, and thou wilt cast all thy sins into the depths of the sea." Can you see? Consistent with God's character. He is compassionate. Right? In verse 19. Yeah. Consistent with God's character. In verse 18. He delights in mercy. Are we together? Consistent with God's character. In verse 18. He pardoneth iniquity. So if you now infuse Micah into that, or Malachi 3 verse 6, what do you see? "I am the Lord that changeth not." So if God is a God that you see once pardon sin, he has been a God that has always been pardoning sins. Did you get that? Yeah, God is a God that is involved in the pardoning of sins. God is a God that delights in mercy. So if you see for once that God delights in mercy, it means that he has consistently always been a delightful person in mercy. Are we here? Yeah. So he will cast all thy sins, their sins, into the depth of the sea. So look at that perfectly. Yeah. He says, "He passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retained not his anger forever, because he delighted in mercy." So one true characteristic of God you must see in your study of God, in your study of the Bible, is that God is a God that is plenteous in mercy. We saw that in Psalm 103. Yeah. He is plenteous in mercy. He is, that means, Our brothers will say, mercy boku in his bosom. So there is so much mercy in his bosom. You know what they call boku boku? Yeah, boku boku is just the Greek way of saying plenty, plenty. Yeah, you see, you know. But you say, ah, that guy has money. His money boku. Yeah, so, you get what I'm trying to say, really. Right? So, in the real sense, what, if you see God, or in looking at God, what should you see as boku boku? Yeah, you should see what? Iniquities forgiven. Yeah, if you look at God, what should you see as boku boku? His compassion faileth not. If you look at God, what should you see as boku boku? His mercy is forever. Yeah, if you look at God again, what should you see as boku boku? His character is consistent. Are we together? So God is a... Let's infuse everything. God is a consistent God who changeth not, and his mercies are new every morning, in that his compassion faileth not, such that he gives pastors according to his heart, so that they will feed us with knowledge and understanding about all I've mentioned. Are we here? I'll say that again. Look at that again. I'll say it again. He says, God is a consistent God who changeth not. God doesn't change. God's character is the same. Yeah? In the real sense, his mercies are plenteous. They are new every morning. Now, remember, we said that again. I've said that again. God's mercy is not something he renews by the day. In the real sense, God's mercy actually is something we need to renew our minds regarding by the day. So God's mercy is consistent. God's compassion fails not. So if God is that way once, it means that he's always like that. So if God used to kill before and he stopped killing, then in the recess he never stopped killing because he changed not. Did you get that? Let me say that again. Yeah. In the real sense, if God used to stop killing, in the real sense, he never stopped killing. he never stopped killing. So if you believe that God used to kill before, yeah, but he has stopped killing right now, yeah, Micah tells you, Malachi, he tells you, I am the Lord that changeth not. I am the Lord that change. So God is consistent from Genesis to Malachi. God is the same person. So mankind would have interfered or rewritten certain things in certain ways to infer that God changed. In the writings of men in the Holy Book, right? In the Holy Book, right? Yeah, you will possibly see things that will cause inference in your heart that God has changed. No, but Malachi tells you, I am the Lord that changeth not. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Why? Because his compassion fails not. So it means that for every time you see that man is consumed, or when you see man man is consumed, let me stay there, right? In the real sense, it is not an activity of God. Yeah, you see, in the compassion of God, there is such a thing called judgment and justice. In the real sense, that is, so go to Genesis 3, or go to Genesis 8, Genesis chapter 8. Please follow attentively. This is a lovely evening already. Now, look at Genesis 8, verse 22. Look at Genesis 8, verse 22. Are you with me right now? Look at Genesis 8, 22. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. He says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Why do you suppose this is a principle in scriptures? It is because God is a just God, is a God of justice. Altogether. So while the earth remaineth, seed time. So there are principles. There's the seed time, there's the harvest time. You know, we taught this on Sunday, right? You know, a couple of our brothers will say seed, comma, time and harvest, right? Yeah, so yeah, you sow your seed, then give it time, then you see the harvest. That's a lot of rubbish, really. Yeah, it's actually seed time, a single word, right? Then harvest time. Yeah, it just simply means you plant it, you plant, there's a planting time, there's a reaping time, there's a sowing and the reaping time. So it's the same thing with the doctrine of Christ. So there's a time where the seed of God's word is sown in your heart, and there's the reaping, which is the harvest of eternal life. Are we together? So these are principles. So mankind will operate or will be subject to the principle of cold, heat, summer, winter, day, night, seed time, harvest. I'll say that again. Cold, heat, summer, winter, day, night, right? Seed time, harvest. What should be consistent in your mind about all these seasons? God is a God that is merciful and his compassion fails not. Malachi, God is a God that changeth not. So in seed time, in harvest time, in cold, in heat, in summer, in winter, in day and night, God changeth not. Are we here? Are we together? Now look at Isaiah chapter 1. Look at Isaiah chapter 1. Look at Isaiah chapter 1. Let me show you something quickly in verse 9. We've been trying to, we had a little gist on Sunday about Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at Isaiah 1 verse 9. God doesn't change. Remember, never forget that part in your Christian faith. God changeth not. God changeth not. God changeth not. God changeth not. God is merciful yesterday, today, and forever. God is compassionate yesterday, today, and forever. So when you see man destroyed, it's not because God's compassion failed. Oh, precious Father. Did you hear that? When you see man destroyed, when you see man consumed, it's not because God's compassion failed. Look at verse 9. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9. It says, except the Lord of hosts, except the Lord of hosts had left us unto a very small remnant, right? We should have been as what? Sodom. And we should have been like unto what? Gomorrah. Hold on. So, Sodom and Gomorrah is mentioned in the book of Isaiah. How did Isaiah use Sodom and Gomorrah here? Yeah, there is that figure of speech called simile. What is simile? Simile is simply a figure of speech used for comparison, to compare two things. A lot of times, they may not be things that are in the same circle of influence or same, really, it's like using non-living things to compare with living things and all of that. It's just a simile, right? So when it says, as Sodom, like Gomorrah, right, so let me use a daily example today. So when they say, that lady is as brave as a lion, the person talking is not a lion, neither is the lady being spoken about a lion. What did they use? A lion is used, the braveness of a lion is used to qualify how brave the lady is. That's a simile. So when it says, as Sodom, like Gomorrah, that's just really a simile. So if Sodom and Gomorrah is mentioned, now look at it this way. Before I can say you are as brave as a lion, it means that lion first exists. It means that it is a given knowledge that the braveness or the bravery of lion, I don't know which of them is correct, that the brave nature of a lion is actually already a known fact. Did you hear what I just said? Before I say, see how your head is as, Let me say better. See how your waves is as beautiful as a carpet grass. Yeah, first of all, there's a carpet grass that exhibits beauty. Right? So, if they say, you are as brave as a lion. Wow, you are such a giant. You are as big as a craft. There is a craft or an aeroplane that exists first. Yeah, so when you say, as brave as a lion, first of all, it is a stated, given, or already established fact that there is something called the braveness found with a lion, and there's something called a lion. So when you see as Sodom and Gomorrah, it means that Sodom and Gomorrah is first an established knowledge, yeah, before the audience of Isaiah can relate to. Does that make any sense? Yeah, so it means that, so look at it. So peradventure, I say you are as brave as a lion, and a neutral party heard what I said, but doesn't know what a lion is. What do you suppose that neutral party should do? That neutral party should go and investigate what a lion or who a lion is. Yeah. So in understanding who a lion is, you see how that lion and why the word lion and brave is used in reference to that lady. Are you following me, right? Yeah, I'll say that one more time. Right, so if I say, you're as beautiful as a rose flower. Yeah, you're as beautiful as a rose flower. So let's stay there. Now, first of all, for a neutral party who doesn't know what a rose flower is, for the person to actually have a full grasp of what is being said, yeah, the person needs to go and investigate what they said as. Right, so as a rose flower. Oh, that's the rose flower. So when they say your beauty shines in the morning like the sun that rises from the, you know, whatever you want to say there. Right, so like the sun that. So first of all, it is a given fact that the sun rises. Are we together? So if you've never seen the sun rise, it is just actually basic for you to go and actually observe what the sun rising actually looks like or feels like or sounds like. So it is a given knowledge that the lion is brave. So when they say you are as brave as a lion, yeah, if you need to now say, oh, a lion is brave. Wow, he's just really saying that lady is actually very brave. Are we together? Are we together? So when the Bible tells you, we should have been as Sodom. We should have been like Gomorrah. It means that there is a knowledge of Sodom and Gomorrah that was already established. Now, let's go back and investigate what you call, you know, Bible principle called the law of the first mention. Now, let me take it a little step back. Yeah, this is going back to, you know, as early track as you can think about. Now, in Bible study, there's such a thing as what communication and sitting where the audience sat. Are we together? Now, Moses was a very great writer. In fact, Moses seems to be one of the greatest writers to have ever existed. Are we together? Debatable though. Yeah, but to me, Moses is one of the greatest writers that you can ever read. Are we together? So, now remember, in Moses' time, he was born in Exodus. Are we together? Moses was born in Exodus, and as he grew, he was schooled in knowledge. Now, there's such a practice called oral tradition that still exists today. What is oral tradition? When traditions of men are communicated using words from a generation to another generation. What does that mean? My father tells me a story about his father that his father told him about his own father. Yeah, so my father tells me that. I tell my son, oral tradition. My son tells his son. His son tells his son. Yeah, so in the real sense, you realize that fifth generation from me right now would have a knowledge of my father. Why? Because my father told me, or my grandfather, so to say, because my father told me, I told my son told his son, and you know, all gone. So that's what we call the law or the oral tradition mode of communication. So Moses was schooled in oral or using oral tradition. What does that mean? It means that Moses from the Levitical order and all of that, you know, the Levites, so to say, you know, he would have learned or have proper knowledge about his fathers and his forefathers. Are we here? How together? I hope we're following, right? We're going to say very interesting things this morning. So, now, there's such a thing as history that is now used to become doctrine. Are we together? Are we together? I'll say that again. There is such a thing as history that is now used to become doctrine. So let's backtrack a little. We started explaining what you call the Garden of Eden, right? We explained what you call the Garden of Eden. And we were able to explain that Moses used the Garden of Eden as a figurative expression to talk about that which Adam rejected. Are we together? Now, we said that in the Garden of Eden, there was one tree, and it was the tree of knowledge of, tree of what? The tree of life. All together. Now, the tree of life is a figurative expression that Moses communicates certain truths in the Bible. All together. So, in the real sense, like I said, even though debatable, a lot of theologians believe that the Garden of Eden existed in Adam's time. A lot of them believe that the Garden of Eden existed in Moses' time. Yeah, so, a lot of people believe that in Moses' time, amongst his generation, there's a place they could point to and say Garden of Eden. Yeah, debatable, like I said. Yeah, but now what is the point? Moses uses that which he was told using oral tradition to write about the story of something else, or to write about a different story. Are we together? So you see, Garden of Eden. Now you okay? Let me show you an example. Look at Isaiah chapter 51. Where in Isaiah chapter 1, right? Look at Isaiah 51. Look at Isaiah chapter 51, verse 3. Look at Isaiah chapter 51, verse 3. Isaiah 51, verse 3. Isaiah 1 verse 3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden. You see that simile again? And her desert like what? Simile again? The Garden of Eden, or the Garden of the Lord. So can you see? Can you see Eden first would have been a place, right? Then used for what Adam rejected, became a doctrine, then later used as God's goodness, or for God's goodness. See what it says again. It says, shall be like what? So look at it. The comfort shall be like the wilderness. Yeah, the comfort shall be, sorry, the Lord shall comfort. It will make our wilderness like Eden. Yeah, so it means that Eden seems to have a narrative of comfort. And a desert like the Garden of the Lord. So the Garden of Eden seems to have a narrative of comfort. So it says, joy and gladness shall be found. So it means that in the Garden of Eden, it seems to have a narrative of joy and gladness. Yeah, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. I don't get that. So history will happen, then history will become doctrine. So Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, Joseph, you know, all of those things happened. And we now see them written across scriptures, right, in reference to doctrine. Or they are now used as doctrine. When I say doctrine, it's just the word teaching. Yeah, teaching aid or used for teaching. right? So we started looking on Sunday that Sodom and Gomorrah were literally geographical, or they had literal geographical locations, right? So look at Genesis 10 verse 19. Genesis chapter 10 verse 19. Genesis chapter 10 verse 19. Genesis 10 verse 19. Look at Genesis chapter 10, verse 19. It says, "And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon, as thou comest to Gerar unto Gaza," right? As thou goest unto Sodom, Gomorrah. Yeah, so if he mentions Canaanite from Sidon, from Gaza, from Gerar, Sodom and Gomorrah, they will not be figurative. Yeah, so there was a place called Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma, Zibiom, Lasha. Are we here? Look at chapter 13, Genesis chapter 10, verse 13. Genesis chapter 13, rather, verse 13. Genesis 13, 13. Genesis 13, 13. It says, "But the men of Sodom," yeah, so Sodom was a place that had men altogether. So Moses recalls that Sodom was a place on the map, right? People knew about Sodom. Now, they were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, doesn't that make sense why Isaiah now tells you, even as Sodom, or like unto Gomorrah, right? Because there's a template of Sodom that existed, and Moses shows you that the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Are we together? Look at chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, verse 17. Genesis 18, verse 17. Genesis 18, verse 17. Look at verse 18. Look at verse 16. "And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom," right? "And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way." Look at verse 17. "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." We'll look at that on Sunday. "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him." So God had a sense of trust that Abraham will do the work of a priest and the work of a prophet. That's God's spokesperson and God's priest on the earth. Are we together? Yeah, which we actually taught in time past in this series about how Adam did not dress and keep the garden. Remember that teaching? Yeah, so Adam was to dress and keep the garden. That is really do the work of a priest, of a prophet, right? So to say, right, so look at verse 19. "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." Look at verse 20. "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great." Now, for there to be a cry, it means that there was something that was happening. So, there's a cry of Sodom and Gomorrah that is great, and because their sin is very, what? Grievous. When you read Genesis chapter 13, what did he show you? Moses shows you that Sodom was a place that the men of that place were, what? Sinners, exceedingly. Yeah, they were sinners exceedingly. They were exceeding sinners, right? So, look at verse 20 again. "And the Lord said, because the crowd of Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous." Look at verse 31. "I will go..." Look at that again. It says, "I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know." Now remember, the Lord is the Lord that changeth not. The Lord is full of mercy and his compassion fails not. So it means that if you see destruction in Sodom and Gomorrah, it's not because the compassion of God failed. It means that if you see the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, it's not because his mercies ended or his mercies ran to an end. If you see the compassion of God in Sodom, if you see the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, it is not because God lacks mercy. Bible tells you he is plenteous in mercy. Are we together? So Moses gives you a solid fact that Sodom was a place on earth and Sodom had sinners. Now the question, like we're asking on Sunday, what was the sin of Sodom? Are we together? What was the sin of Sodom? Now we've started explaining from, you know, first principle in scriptures. You know, Adam was given a message and he rejected. There's such a thing as seed time, harvest time, cold and heat. It's a principle. So a man gets a repercussion or a reward for his decision. So if God sends a message through a messenger, right, and people reject, yeah, they get whatever they see. You see that? Yeah, it is because of the compassion of the Lord that he actually sends a messenger. Why? Because God will not nullify all the free will of man, Do you get that? Just because he wants to do something in the real sense. Yeah, he would use a man that will present, so man will present God's compassion to men, and men will choose either to cling on to God's compassion or get a repercussion for rejecting God's compassion. Did you get what I'm doing right now? Yeah. We look at Genesis, in Genesis 15, right? That Abraham was speaking to God about, you know, a child and all of that. And God says, I'm your exceeding great, your exceeding shield and great reward and all of that. You know, so, and you now see in Genesis chapter 18, we read today about how God was very sure that Abraham would do the work of the prophet. Yeah, Abraham would preach the message. So, it is a law that is given. Never forget, it is because of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. So, it is because of the, so, when you see consumption, when you see men being consumed, yeah, it is that God's mercy did not extend to that. Did you see that? Yeah, it is that man rejects God's mercy by rejecting God's message, which is rejecting God's messenger. I'm taking you a step ahead of where we are going today. I'll say that again. Man rejects God's message in the real sense by rejecting God's messenger. You will see that play out a lot in scriptures. Think about it this way. You have a man on the streets, right, who God wants to communicate his message and compassion to. How will God do it? God will do it through your lips by you going to preach the gospel to him. In the real sense, what happens? In the real sense, he rejected your message by rejecting you. Or, he might, get away from me, I don't want to see you. Yeah, in rejecting you, he rejects the message. It means that there's a very high tendency that when a man rejects God's messenger, he rejects God's message. Did you hear that? Do you hear that? Look at Genesis 18. Let me jump you to verse 20. He says, well, that's what we're. He says, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is grievous. Yeah? The cry is great, and their sin is very grievous. Now, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. So in the real sense, when you see the cry in verse 20, do you think it's a righteous cry or a cry of torment? Yes, yeah, look at it. For Moses to tell you that what? I will go down now and see whether they have done according to their cry. It means that they were pleading, or there was a cry of a righteous man, right? There was a cry of a righteous man amidst the people, right? And there needed to be a confirmation that the cry was genuine, or genuinely stating the heart or expressing the heart of the people. Let me use this example for you to understand, really. So imagine I'm your father, right? Imagine I have a daughter, so to say, right? So, and I'm living in the US or in Canada, and my daughter lives in Nigeria, right? And my daughter is doing a lot of things with my properties, maybe in Nigeria, right? And she calls me over the phone and starts telling me, oh no, I'll keep everything right. No, I'll do everything right. Right. So I hear her cry on the phone. I say, I will go down to Nigeria and see whether what she says, what she's crying about to me is actually what she has done, or is what she's doing. You do get that? I hope that makes that easier. Right. So it means that there was a cry of one, or there was a cry in or from Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's now pay attention to that. Go to chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. Please follow attentively, dear saints, right? We'll learn a few things and come to a very interesting conclusion this evening. Look at Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. Now, and there came two angels to Sodom at even. Hold on. When you see angels, what should you think first? Message, messenger. Are we here? Are we here? When you see the consistent use of angels across scriptures, they had a message to deliver one way or the other. Right. So, and there came two angels to Sodom at even. Right? And Lot sat in the gate. So, the angels that came to Sodom had a message. Did you see that? Did you see that? So, where did those angels, where do you see them, or who do you see them with? Let's keep reading. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot seeing them, rose up to meet them. So Lot sees angels and rises up to see them. Let's say it better. Lot sees messengers and rises up to meet them. What happens? And he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. And he said, behold, now, my Lord, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night. Right? And wash your feet, and ye shall rise up very early, and go your ways. Right? And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned. He pressed upon them greatly, means just try to influence them. And they turned in unto him and entered into his house. That means he tried to convince them to stay in his house. Right? And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread. Right? And they what? Ate. So unleavened bread is not first mentioned in Exodus during the Passover. Right? So look at unleavened bread there. Right? You say that again prior to that, actually. So look at verse 4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed their house round, both old and what? Young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men? Who do you suppose they're asking about? Where are the messengers which came into thee this night? You see that? You see that? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Praise Jesus. That we may know them. Yeah, this know had a has a similarity with Adam knew his wife. Cain knew his wife. And they conceived, right? So, and Lot went out of the door unto them and he shut the door after him. Right? So imagine it. You step out of the door of your house and close the door behind you, right? And said, I pray you, brethren, that is, I beseech you, yeah, by the message of the Lord, do not so wickedly. So it means that the act they were about to do was what you consider as a wicked act. Now, mind you, the law in the real sense, what you call the Ten Commandments, was not in existence from Genesis 19. Now, we established on Sunday that Lot was related to Abraham. Now, what did God do about Abraham? What does God trust about Abraham? God trusts that Abraham will do the work of a priest and a prophet. Did you get that? So, God trusts that Abraham will be his spokesperson on the earth, and he had an assurance in Genesis 18 that Abraham will actually stick to preaching, you know, that which he has received. So, who is Lot? Lot is the brother's son, or the son of the Abraham's brother's son, really, which is like, you know, who is relative, so to say. Yeah, so, the relative of Lot will know what is wicked in the real sense. He is so-called or possibly will be a follower or disciple, so to say, of Abraham. Now look at verse 8. Let me show you something in verse 8. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. That means I have two daughters who are virgins. Let me, I pray you, bring them unto you. So I beseech you, let me bring my two daughters to you and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Praise Jesus. Only unto these men do nothing. So it means that Lot acknowledges that these messengers have a message, and it shows or it reflects in how he treats the messenger. Did you get that? There is a way you will treat the messenger that will reflect, or there's a way you will believe the message that will reflect in how you treat the messenger. Do you see that? Now, he says, do nothing unto them. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof, and they said, verse 9, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will be needs by be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with what? Blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Altogether. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law? And thy sons and thy daughter, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. Is that a message? Yes. Is that a message? Yes. Yeah. So, what is the message the men from chapter 19, verse 1, yeah, actually eventually tells? Yeah. Do you have son-in-laws? Do you have sons? Do you have daughters? Whatsoever that is yours in this city, take them out of this city. That's an instruction. So, can you see? The messengers had a message about something that was going to happen. So, look at verse 13. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Now, hold on. If you are following our teaching for the first time, let me show you that the Lord is not always God. Hold on in Genesis chapter 19 and go to where? 1 Samuel 24. Okay? Look at 1 Samuel 24. 1 Samuel 24. Look at 1 Samuel 24. 2 Samuel 24, brother. 2 Samuel 24, my bad. 2 Samuel 24. Look at 2 Samuel 24. Look at 2 Samuel 24. So, he says, and again, 2 Samuel 24, verse 1. And again, the anger of the Lord kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. Altogether, look at verse 2. There was an instruction. The Bible tells you the anger of the Lord provoked David, right, to number the people. Right? Now look at verse 9. David gave the instruction to his chief, commander-in-chief and all of that. And Joab came, gave back and gave him the sum of the total men in verse 9. Now look at verse 10. And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. You see that? How can the Lord ask David to number the people? David, in obedience, obeys that. And he now says, I have sinned greatly in what I have done, right? Because I numbered the people you asked me to number, right? The anger of the Lord in verse 1, yeah? So look at 1 Chronicles, 2 Samuel, let me look at 1 Chronicles quickly. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 21. It tells you, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. So when you read 2 Samuel 24, that tells you the anger of the Lord. Who is the Lord there? It is really Satan. So when you see the Lord in the Bible, yeah, it's not always about God. Yeah, the Lord can be Satan, the Lord can be man, the Lord can be God. Are we together? Same instruction in 2 Samuel, same instruction in 1 Chronicles. But 1 Chronicles was written after 2 Samuel, and there was better knowledge exemplified in that. In case you don't know, it's the same story. Look at verse 8. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this. Yeah, can you see? It makes sense right now. So Satan asks David. David does it. David now recognizes, I have sinned greatly because I have done this. I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very what? Foolish. Yeah, so you read the narrative further, you realize that David actually rather stay in the hands of God, you know, than in the man. Because you see, a prophet comes around and notifies him about certain things that will happen and all of that in some other conversations like that. So, you see, I just took you here to show you that when you see the Lord in the Bible, don't always think God. Yeah, there's what you call the permissive, the causative. Yeah, we've done that in previous teachings. Now, go back to where we are, Genesis 19. We're in Genesis chapter 19. Right? Are we in Genesis 19? We're in Genesis chapter 19. Yeah. So what was the instruction the men gave Lot? Oh boy, if you have sons, if you have daughters, yeah, take them out of this place. For there is this. So a better way to read verse 13 is that there is destruction coming. Are we together? Look at verse 14. Right? Look at verse 14. He now says, and Lot went out. Why do you suppose Lot went out and spake unto his sons in law, which married his daughters, and said, up. Get up out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. Yeah. So, in a better Christocentric way to actually say that will be what? For there is destruction ahead. Yeah. You see, that's similar to Noah's story, right? Yeah. We'll look at that shortly. Right. So, he says, and Lot said to his people, get out of this city. Yeah. There is destruction coming. But he seemed as one that mocked unto. So, it means that they looked at him as one who, they looked at him with a sense of mockery. Now, what is this one saying? What is this one even saying? Look at verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. So, men being consumed was going to happen. Let me say better. Destruction was going to happen. Are we together? Destruction was going to happen. Destruction was going to happen. There was a message, or there were messengers sent to Lot, and that message Lot believed. Lot became a messenger, yeah, to the people. Did you get that? Did you get that? Lot believed the message that this, so it might not have looked that there was destruction beckoning. It must not have looked that there was instruction on the high horizon. But in the real sense, the message was given. Lot received the messenger. In receiving the messenger, he received their message. In receiving their message, he believed and acted swiftly on that. Right? So in believing their message, he also preached the message. What is the message? The instruction is coming. Look at verse 16. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hands of his wife and upon the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. Right? So, what do you suppose is exhibited? God's mercy is delivered to Lot from the hands of the messengers. Hey, I hope you got that. Yeah, so the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Look at verse 17. He now says, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, there that he said, escape for thy life, that is, run, flee, look not behind thee. Yeah, neither stay thou in all the plain. He said, escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. Why? Because destruction beckons. Look at verse 18. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. What do you suppose actually happened to Lot? To Lot, rather. Lot, in obeying the message, sees that the message came ahead of time out of God's graciousness. So, God's graciousness, God's mercy, God's compassion, yet you see that in the message or the lips as a message, yet you see that as a message on the lips of the messengers who Lot received. Are we following? Did you see that? Did you see that? Right? So, look at that again. And behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. Let me ask you a question. Dear saints, the people that were in that city, they were involved in homosexuality, right? If they had akin to Lot's head and they flew away from the city, would the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah find them in any other city they go to? No! Did you see that? Did you see that? I hope that brings clarity to you. I'll say that again. Now, there was a message of a destruction that was coming. Yeah, so the messengers did that to Lot. So if Lot, who was not participating in what? In homosexuality. If he had stayed in that city, will the destruction happen to him? Yes! So the destruction happened to the people in the real sense. And you see that as a disobedience to the message of what? Flee. Are we together? Are we here? Are you following, right? So when you now see Lot saying, I found mercy, it is that we see mercy as that which is God's compassion that fails not, that is new every morning. So in the real sense, it is that when man believes that message, I want to get, remember, who is writing this? This is Moses. So Moses writes intelligently for you to see the repercussion of a man that what? Believes the message of deliverance. What was the message of deliverance as seen in Lot? The message of deliverance is in the fact that you get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Or get out from that vicinity. There is destruction beckoning. Are we here? Are we here? Are we going to? We are here. Right? So, when you now see, behold, thy servant has found grace in thy sight, thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil take me and I die. It says, behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Yeah, and my soul shall what? Live. So why will Lot live? Lot will live because he what? Believes the message from the messenger and leaves the city. Template of what? The gospel. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow the city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zorah. Now, and the son, let me just jump to verse 24. Somebody's son, yeah, but this son is actually son of the, yeah. So then the Lord rained upon, remember, I've showed you, don't always see the Lord. Remember, the Lord is always full of mercy. The Lord is compassionate and his compassion filled not. And our God is a God that changeth not. Malachi 3:6. Right? Yeah. Malachi 3:6. Yeah. God is a God that changeth not. Right? Lamentations 3:22. His mercies are new every morning. His compassion fails not. Jeremiah 3:15. We have pastors to feed us with knowledge and understanding about that. Yeah? You see that? So, when you see the Lord reigned upon Sodom and Gomorrah, be careful to know who the Lord is. Yeah? Because the Lord is actually full of mercy. Right? So, a better way to read that would be destruction was upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Right? Brimstone fire from the Lord out of heaven and he overthrew the city. The city was overthrown. The plains overthrown. Inhabitant cities grew upon the ground. Now look at verse 26. Please look at 26. But his wife looked back from behind him and she became a what? A pillar of salt. Are we here? Yeah? So, let me show you. So, let me say this. So, Lot believed the messengers, right? In believing the messengers, he became a messenger. However, the people did not receive him. Rather, they got him angry. Are we together? Are we together? So, Lot's literal escape from destruction typifies a man's salvation or deliverance from destruction of unbelief. Now remember, who wrote Genesis? Moses. What is Moses trying to write you about? Moses is trying to teach you about the character of God. So the way Moses wrote, we need to look at it carefully. So Moses wrote in a way that you will see that Lot literally escaped from destruction in acting to the message of the messenger. Same thing with the gospel. We have messengers with a message, and when a man believes, he is saved. He is delivered from the destruction that is associated with unbelief. So, Lot's life was preserved in that he believed the message. That's the way Moses is writing, really. Altogether. So, Moses, Lot's wife, looked back. Now, look at verse 27. He says what? And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, towards the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a what? Furnace. Look at 29. And it came to pass when God destroyed the city. Remember, take note of it. When the city was destroyed. Yeah. That God, remember, we need to never forget the causative, the permissive, and the, what are the, permissive, causative, and, we looked at that a few moments ago, right? Primarily those two, really. Yeah. So we need to look at when God's name is mentioned, but really is not mentioned, things are sitting with him and all of that. So, and it came to pass when God destroyed the city of, when the cities were destroyed, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when they overthrew the city in the which the Lord what dwelt. Altogether. Now, what do you suppose Moses wrote about Lot's wife for you to see? Moses, see, in the writings of Moses, you see the characters he uses as examples. So, and a good example, or the examples you see in Lot is that he was accommodating, he welcomed messengers, right? He tried to shield them from the evil out of unbelief, and what he wanted to do to them. In the real sense, he believed their message and he fled. What do you suppose Lot's wife is typifying? In the real sense, Lot's wife is an example of the men of Sodom. In the real sense, they consider their works over the message. Moses is writing for you to see that they consider their works over God's promise, or they consider their works over God's message. Yeah. So by the works, oh, we build this city. With them, why should I run away from this city? And remember, the messengers told Lot, take all that is thine with your family and flee. Are we together? Yeah. So in the real sense, Lot's wife turning back, right? In the real sense, is because she had the slant of the men of Sodom who decided not to run away. Did you get that? Think about it this way. Imagine you've lived in Abuja all your life. You're maybe 35 years old, for instance. And you live in Abuja, you have a mini estate. You have 5 estates to your name. You have a plaza, a cathedral to yourself, and all of that. Yeah. And a messenger comes with a message and says, leave Abuja. Right? So in the real sense, you are not different from one who leaves Abuja and is crying and is looking back. Hey, look at Abuja. Everything I've labored for. See, you're almost the same. Difference is that at least you took a step, but you still look back. So in the research, the slant of your heart is similar to that which, to those who actually remain. Right? In the land. Look at verse 30. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him. Hold on. And his two daughters with him. Go back to verse 12. What did the messenger say to Lot? Your sons and your son-in-law and your daughters. Who do you see in the narrative in verse 30? Only the daughters remain. Yeah. For he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his what? Two daughters. Yeah, and the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of what they had. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we'll lie with him. So you guys, even in the deliverance that God offered to them, see what their heart was saying. So in the real sense, this lie with our father, then we preserved his seed, and they made his father drink all night, and the firstborn went in and went out. And you know all of that, that's really narrative there, really. But what's the point? Moses wrote all of this. So, Lot's wife looking back is actually an example, or we refer to disobedience, so to say. So, she considered her works, yet literally now, you see, what she has built in the city, right, rather than believing the message that Lot passed across. Are we together? So, in that, you see, what is the most important? The heart of a man towards the message of God. Are we together? So their unbelief was evidenced by how they treated God's messenger. Are we together? Their unbelief was very, very, very evident by how they treated what? God's messenger. Go back to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. Yeah? It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. So, can this be the confession of Lot? Yes. Yes. Because his compassion fails. Can that be the confession of Lot and his daughters? Yes. Did you see what I just did there? Right? So, it is. So Lot can boldly say, having left the city, that it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Because his compassion fails. So, if Lot now sleeps and wakes up, what will he say? The mercies of the Lord, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Are we together? Yeah. So, when the messengers came to the city, was God merciful? Yes. When the messengers told Lot the message, was God merciful? Yes. When Lot preached the message to the family and the people, was God merciful? Yes. When Lot left the city, was God merciful? Yes. When Lot's wife looked back, was God merciful? Yes. When the city was destroyed, was God merciful? Yes. Was God's compassion consistent all through? Yes. How do you see? You see a man who walked into the message and he was delivered. Are we together? So, Lot can say, it is Lot and his two daughters can say, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because his compassion fails not. Are we together? I'll close in Genesis 6. Run with me to Genesis 6. Let me show you something which will be a benchmark for what we'll go ahead with in our next teaching. I hope you learned something. Look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, verse 3, rather. Genesis 6, verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is what? Flesh. Look at, yet his day shall be 120 years, right? So, what is 120 years? This is similar to the message of the messengers about the destruction that was coming ahead. So, Noah lived more than 120 years. I hope you know that. Men after Noah's time lived more than 120 years. I hope you know that. So, God was not saying that man will not live more than 120 years again. No. He was actually a message, right, about the fact that there was destruction 120 years from that day when the message was given. Right? Are we together? Right, so it means that the messengers that came to Lot could have said in the next 120 days, right, that would be the number of days of man on earth. It's not saying after that day everybody will leave the earth. No, it is that there is a destruction that is coming ahead, and what should you do? You should take heed. Now, look at verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of man came, the daughters of men, we explained that, and they bare children, you see children in italics to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. Verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. So, where was the wickedness really found? It was found in what their imaginations were saying. Are we together? Are we together? Right? So, and if repented the Lord that he had made man. Yeah, that's figure of speech. Yeah? God knows the end from the beginning. Yeah? God will not create man and regret creating. It means that he doesn't know what will happen now. Yeah? It means that what man did to him took him by surprise. So, and he repented the Lord that he had made on the earth and grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy causative permissive, right? Man from whom I created. So, a good way to read that, but there will be destruction of the earth, or there will be destruction of men, or there will be destruction that is coming ahead, yes, after 120 years. Yeah? So, what do you see? Remember, we saw about Lot. The Bible says that Lot found grace in the eyes of, in sight of God. Lot found mercy. Look at Noah again. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We'll pay attention to that. So, what was Noah doing? Noah preached the message about the destruction for 120 years. This is Moses writing. So Noah preached for 120 years, right? And in 120 years, he was building an ark that will preserve man when that destruction happens. So in rejecting Noah, that is God's messenger, they rejected the message. And what happens? They get a repercussion for rejecting the message. What would you suppose the message would have been? So in the preparation of the ark, God's promise was passed across by Noah, or the message of destruction was passed across by God's messenger, Noah, to the people of the earth. Yeah, so the consequence of this, so think about it this way. Yeah, forget about all the iniquity of the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. If they ran away with Lot, would they be destroyed? No!
Forget about the people of the wickedness in the heart of people of, in time of Noah. Yeah, if they ran away, would they, if they entered Noah's ark, would they be destroyed? No. So look at it. If one person who was a chief sinner entered that ark with Noah, and everybody knew he was a sinner, yeah, that destruction that happened on the land will not find him in the ark and destroy him. Do you get that? So so the destruction is actually a consequence of their disobedience from entering the ark. The Lord is plenteous in mercy. He doesn't he puts sins away from man. Are we together? Some of you know. So the consequence of disobedience and unbelief in the message of Noah, that is rejecting. So they were looking at Noah and they were mocking him. The same thing happened to Lot. So Lot's sons and son-in-law, they mocked Lot. Same thing with Noah. They mocked Noah. And what happens? Destruction was beckoning. We'll pay attention. We have not touched Noah's ark. Yeah, I just went to it there. Yeah. So there was a destruction by flood that was ahead. And everyone that entered into the ark was going to be saved. Right? So in the name of the Lord is the strong tower, the righteous one into it, they are saved. In the real sense, really. There is that plan of preservation despite the message of the flood that was coming ahead. So the consequence of the disobedience of the message about the flood was what you will see as weak, or is what you see, they partook in the destruction of the flood. Hallelujah. It's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. I love you all. I love you all dearly. Take care of yourself. Cheers.